take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 17 with me, please. Matthew chapter 17. And as you're turning there, I have a note for you. Dear pastor and church family, thank you for all your prayers, visits, meals, and well wishes on the birth of our new little blessing. Noah's doing well and excited to be here on his first Sunday. In Christ's name, Joe and Heather Shepherd. It's a good thing because I would already had to go and deal with him if he didn't come to church today. And so I'm glad he's here. And I'm glad you're here today.
Amen.
It's always a blessing to be able to be in God's house on Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
I've been traveling, I know, a little bit, but I just to let you know, no more travels the rest of the year. Except for here and back and forth, you know. But anyway, I've been traveling a little bit, preaching out. And, you know, sometimes your pastor needs to get out and preach and be able to represent Calvary Baptist Church. And so I've been able to do that just a little bit more than I normally do. I'm pretty much a homebody, but I do need to get out occasionally. And it seems like this year's just been a lot of pulls on my time. Thank you for understanding. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. The Bible said, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth forth, not out, but by prayer and fasting. Gentlemen, if you would come right now at this time, I have something I would like to give each of you. It is a mustard seed. And I would like for each of you to take a card, and I think we should have enough here. You could just maybe just take the tray and just pass it down on the end. I want each of you to have a mustard seed. Everyone it'll take just a moment. And while they're still passing those out, let me read to you one more time that verse in verse number 20. And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue in this service, as we pass out these mustard seeds, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts in the moments that we have together. Father, help us to realize that, Lord, we don't have to have tremendous faith to see you do something. Lord, our faith just needs to be small. And Lord, we know that as we look into the scriptures, you give us very clearly what we need to do and the size of faith we have to have. And Father, I pray you'd speak to us now in the moments that we have together. And may, Lord, this be a day in which those without Christ would receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And those who know him, may you, Lord, do something very powerful in their life. Lord, some of them have some things in their life they need your help with, and I pray, Lord, you would guide them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. every one of us in this room have a mountain in our life. Some mountains are larger than others. But the truth of the matter is, we all have mountains that we must face. James Earl Jones is one who we have become very accustomed to hearing. His voice is probably one of the best voices in America in broadcasting. What most of us don't realize is that James Earl Jones had a mountain in his life. He had a terrible stuttering problem. And from the time he was 9 years old until his mid-teens, he had to communicate only on paper. But a high school teacher decided that he would take up the challenge and wanted to teach him how he could communicate better, and he successfully did. You see, he had a mountain he had to face in his life. Some of you in here, you have some mountains. All of you do. You will have them from time to time. Some mountains are larger than others, but you can be assured that you will have a mountain in your life. It could be the fact that you might have a health mountain. You may have a spiritual mountain in your life, and if you're without Jesus Christ today, that's a huge mountain that you have in your life. You could have a wayward child, or perhaps maybe a job mountain, or some other issue that you have in your life, but every one of us have a mountain in our life we must scale. Here in this passage, Jesus speaks of mountains, and mountains would be, if you would, an obstacle or something that we have to overcome in our life. And he talks about the fact that faith is the instrument and God is the power to help us to scale the mountain, to get over the mountain. And there's no doubt about it, that's what God is concerned about. The mustard seed, if you would please, take out your mustard seed. I want you to look at how big it is. Or maybe I should say how little it is. Do you realize a mustard seed is the smallest seed of all seeds? But what is really interesting is, if you were to take a mustard seed and you were to drop it into the crevice next to a boulder, if that seed would germinate, it would be powerful enough to move that boulder out of place. And here's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He's saying to them that he says, you know, if you had the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to get out of the way. You could scale whatever it is in your life. You can overcome all those things. Now, some of you, you are sharing with me, and you have, as your pastor, you've shared with me several mountains you're facing in life. And you might say, you know, Pastor, I really don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to handle all this. Can I remind you that if you had the faith as the size of the grain of a mustard seed? See, we have the idea that, you know, somehow or another we got to have, you know, momentous faith to see momentous things happen. And while it's great to have large faith, keep this in mind. Our faith many times is small. As long as we have our faith in the right place, that's where we can begin to see God do some great things. See, faith, the idea of faith is not something, if you would, that you might say, well, if I have faith, that, you know, that's good enough. No, it has to be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be faith in myself, because I found that I failed myself. Anyone ever felt like you failed yourself? I'm sure we all have from time to time. It can't be faith in the economy, because the economy has failed us pretty good, hasn't it? It can't be faith in our health, because we know that our health does eventually fail one day. It can't be faith in our brains, because we know we can forget things. It can't be faith in humanity, because we know that humanity can fail too. So what is God saying to us? God's saying, if you had the faith as the size of mustard seed, then he says you can take care of anything that comes in your life. Here's an interesting passage. Here the disciples had come in contact with a man who had a son that was a lunatic, the Bible says. He was out of his mind, and the man needed someone to help him, and the disciples couldn't do it. They were unable to help this man. And what's strange about this is, if you look at the first part of the chapter, they had just seen the magnificence of Almighty God. They had just seen Jesus transfigured before them, and they'd seen the splendor and the glory, and they saw all of that, and now they're asked to do something that for God would be just a snap of a finger, and they couldn't do it. And so they called Jesus aside after Jesus had taken care of the man's son, and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we have done that? I mean, why did we miss that? Why did we miss out on that? How is it that we you know, Lord, you just showed us, why can't we do that? And Jesus is showing them what the problem is and the kind of faith it takes. So I'm going to talk to you this morning. I want to preach to you on the subject, mustard seed faith. And I want to give you the three phases of mustard seed faith. They're clearly taught here in Scripture. There's no doubt about it. Look in verse number 20. Here's the very first phase of mustard seed faith. It is called believing faith. Believing faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says it like this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's a major problem among believers, disciples, apostles, church members, Christians. Here's the major problem: unbelief. We don't believe God can do it. We just really question whether God is able to. Can God really take me through that college course that I'm struggling to pass? Can I really graduate from high school? Can God really bring my wayward son back to the Lord? Can God really take care of this health need I have in my life? Is God really big enough to forgive me of all my sin? Because I've done a pretty good job of wrecking my life. Can God do that? Let me just tell you, God can do that. By the way, if you have your cell phone, would you please turn that off or turn it to vibrate or silent or something? Believe me, that's not God calling, I'll tell you that right now. Thank you. The truth of the matter is that God can take care of these things. And the disciples had to learn that if you're going to get past this mountain in your life, you have to have believing faith. Well, let me describe to you, first of all, what it is not, and then tell you what it is. What do we mean by believing faith? Well, it is not faith in man. Man is prone to failure. In fact, God tells us about that. The Bible says it like this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. You know what that means? Government. It's a whole lot better to put your trust in the Lord than to put your faith in man. In fact, I will tell you this. If you try to put your faith in man, you're going to find that man will fail you every time. So when he talks about faith, he's saying that we're not having this believing faith in man, because man will fail you. Fail you. And here's what happens. A lot of times, people will get maybe attached to somebody, and they'll put a lot of confidence in that person, and that'll be whatever they say, that's what they do. And God says, be careful. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. Amen. You know, sometimes couples, you know, that, you know, well, you know, he's done this and he's done that. Well, can I remind you? He's not perfect, and neither are you. Well, she's done this, she's done that. Well, she's not perfect, and neither are you. You say, if you only knew what my kids are like, hey, I know what God is like. And what God is saying is that we're not to put our faith in man, we're not to put our faith in our feelings.
I've learned something about feelings. Feelings fluctuate and change daily. In fact, can I tell you this? You can't trust your feelings. You can't trust them. I remember years ago when I was a teenager and sitting in a church service, and God began to break my heart, and I just started crying uncontrollably. I had no idea what I was crying about. I was sitting in that service, and that man preached, and man, it just broke my heart, and I just started crying, and I couldn't control it. And I grew up in a culture where you didn't cry. Big boys don't cry. But this boy was crying. And I'm sitting in the service, and I'm just crying, and I go forward, and the preacher said, "Why are you crying about it?" I said, "I don't know, man. God has broke my heart. I don't know." Only to realize it wasn't, but just a few days later, God was breaking my heart for the ministry. But see, I can trust my feelings. You can't trust your feelings because your feelings fluctuate. They change. They're not trustworthy. So God is not saying that what I say is that this mustard seed faith is something that I put my faith in feelings, because it doesn't. You know, sometimes people say this, "Well, you know, I just don't feel saved." Well, join the rest of us, because I don't feel saved a lot of times. Because faith is not a feeling. We have, and it is not faith in education. Have you ever thought about this way? Many believe that all you need to do is have more education. The more education you get, the more you'll be able to know things. Faith is not in education. Faith is not in circumstances. Many people try to adjust the circumstances to make things work out for themselves. And can I tell you this? You can adjust all the circumstances you want, but that's not what faith is. You say, "Preacher, man, you just dispelled all of my ideas about faith." We talk about mustard seed faith. What is it? Well, letter B, it is reading God's word as our anchor. It means that for me, that I have the Bible, and I can trust the Bible because the Bible is my anchor. It's my guidepost. It's my GPS, if you would, in life. And let me tell you, I have a GPS in my car that's about 5 or 6 years old. And here's something I found out about those GPSs. As long as they're programmed with the right information, they will take you in the right direction. But how many of you ever found out that some of those directions aren't always right? Anyone ever have that happen? I remember one time I got, and I was looking for this particular place, and I said, "I'm going to GPS it in." I put it, and I drove at the end, and the GPS says, "We are finished." And I'm out in the middle of nowhere. It says, "GPS is done." And I'm thinking, I don't know if it's going to self-destruct in my dashboard or what. But I'm going to tell you, this word will never fail. Amen. You can trust it. One phase of it is the fact that we have believing faith, because I believe what God's word says, and every one of us need to believe that. The Bible said the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And then it's believing God's word, and not only that, but taking God at his word. The disciples had to believe that whatever God had told them to do, that they were to do. That God was going to lead them to that place of appointment. But then it's also not only believing God's word, but it's obeying God's word. You see, it's not just enough to say, "Well, I believe it," but it's to obey it. Every day as I obey God's word, and God works in my heart, and as he speaks to me, and God begins to open up my understanding of his word as I obey it. The Bible says in James chapter 2, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding the natural face in a glass." In other words, he's like the man that would look into a mirror and he sees, "Man, I got to get my hair cut, or get my hair combed, or my face shaved. Or maybe I gotta get that blemish off my side of my head," whatever it is, and then he just ignores it. A man that does that would be like the man who reads the Bible and walks away and goes unchanged.
You see, that's where believing faith comes in. So we have to believe what God says.
So one important faith in mustard seed faith, and you have a mustard seed in front of you, and God gave that illustration to us so that we can understand it doesn't take a massive amount of faith to see God do something. In fact, it is not the amount of faith that we have necessarily, but it's where we put it. Because if we put it in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where the power is. Amen and amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. We grow in faith, and we can deal with that in another message. But the point of the matter is this. You know, lots of times we're sitting back and say, well, I'm just so struggling with this.
Well, sometimes we all struggle with faith, to be honest with you. We all struggle in that area. But I just want to remind you of this. It only takes a mustard seed size to see God do great things.
So the first phase is that of believing faith. Let me give you the second one very quickly. It's working faith.
Verse number 20, the Bible says that it speaks of the fact that God is working. He's going to use this faith in our life. We work it. In other words, that now that we believe in God, and if you're here today and you have believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have what's called believing faith. And let me explain to you what that means. That believing faith starts the moment we trust Christ as Savior. And let me explain. That does not mean that you're baptized, you become religious, or you put on a new leaf in life, or you decide that somehow you're going to be a good person from now on. What that means is this, that we realize that we are sinners, and all of us are, everybody in here. Sometimes people come to church and say, well, you know, that church is not perfect. Let me tell you, if you find one, don't join it because you'll ruin it. None of us are perfect. Amen? In fact, I've been told, don't you go pastor it, because you'll ruin it. Amen. You see, there's no such thing as a perfect church any more than there's such thing as a perfect human being. We're all sinners. And because we're sinners, we need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He came 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for our sins. That's why He was crucified and buried and rose again the third day, so that we can be forgiven. That's believing faith. Now, as believers, since we have believing faith, then that means that the faith that we have, that which God is working in my life, that mustard seed of faith that begins, there is the idea of growing that faith, and that is that we grow it by using or working our faith. And I see it that way in Scripture. Hebrews 5 says it like this, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what does this do then? What does this faith do that God is working in my life? If I say it's working faith, what does working faith do? Well, it leads us, number one, to follow the Lord. I want to follow the Lord. As God leads us in areas that we are not familiar, our faith is strengthened. I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot of faith to follow the Lord. 25 years ago, when God led us to California, my wife and I sold everything we had. We come out here with nothing. No church, no salary, no jobs, nothing. We had no idea what God was doing. We just knew that God had led us out here. We were going to start a church that we didn't know anybody in the town where we moved to. In fact, I want to tell you, it took more faith than me for my wife to go, because my wife says, well, where are we moving to? I'm looking at a map right now. She had never even been to where we are. And yet God led us there, and God brought us all the way out of California, and God showed us what He can do. And I'm going to tell you something. I only had you think that mustard seed, cut it in half. That's about how much faith I had. But God showed me what He could do, because I followed Him. Now, I can't say that that any more than anybody else, I'm not perfect in my following, but I can tell you this, you can trust Him when you follow Him. He's right on the money every time. God leads us to follow Him. And faith sometimes is very clearly needed if we're going to follow the Lord. There's no doubt about it. He doesn't require tremendous faith, just little faith to follow him. But then he leads us to trust the Lord. As our faith is exercised, we learn that we can trust in the Lord. God can take care of every one of us. As we trust God in the little things, God can take care of us in the bigger things in life. The disciples, as they're walking with Jesus here, they're trusting the Lord. And God says that as you trust me in the little things, I can show you the greater things that I can do for your life. And then we learn not only that, but our working faith leads us to know the Lord. Just as God leads us, we learn God is for us. I learned a long time ago that God's on my side. Sometimes I think people get the idea, you know, well, God must be really angry. He must be on the opposite side. No, God's on my side every time. As I'm learning to walk with God and letting God lead me, I get to know God. God, it says, it doesn't take a lot of faith to trust him. It doesn't take a lot of faith to follow him. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to know him. It's just as we yield to him, God does his work. The great trials of life show us how big God really is. God is a big God. Thank God he's a big God. Amen. One aspect of faith, this mustard seed faith, is believing faith. The second aspect of faith is that of the working faith. God's faith does work. But then there's a third part, and that is dependent faith. Dependent faith. Can I call your attention to verse number 21, please, in your Bibles? Look at what verse 21 says. This is key. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by, what's those words? Prayer and what? Fasting. Dependent faith. Here's what God says. God says, if you have a need, you have a mountain you can't scale, you might need prayer and fasting. You see, here's why I look at it. For the man without Christ, the way to scale the mountain of unbelief in Jesus Christ of salvation is through prayer. The Bible makes it very clear, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The moment I realize that I'm a sinner and I can't go to heaven and I need Jesus, I'm dependent on him. As I call on him, I can be forgiven. God can give me a home in heaven. That's salvation. And here what God is saying to us is that we need to learn that we must secure our faith. Prayer and fasting is the key to dependent prayer, to dependent faith. It's critical. You might have a mountain of help that you're struggling with. When's the last time you prayed and fasted about it? You might have a wayward child that you're trying to figure out, can I ever see them come back to God? When's the last time you prayed and fasted for them? What about the big problem you have in your life? What about those things you just don't think you're ever going to get through? How can we do it? This kind goes by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I wonder when's the last time we've done that. I can honestly say at our church, we've not had easy days any more than anyone else. The church, since it's like a family, a living organism, it's just like your family, and it's just like your individual life. It goes up and down. It has difficulties and it has victories. It has challenges and it has great strides to go forward. But there are times in churches, just like they're in families, just like they're in lives, that there are economic challenges and difficulties and struggles and all that. I mean, we all have it. You're not going to escape that. That's part of the world. That's part of being alive. That's part of being a human being. You're going to go through that. How do you get through that? How are you going to scale that mountain? Dependent faith. Prayer and fasting. Now, we like, you know, the prayer part is that which we understand that many times God drives us to pray because there's no other way to do it. I've often wondered, why don't we pray first instead of pray last? You ever notice that? It's like we want to ask everybody else. We're going to turn on and see what Dr. Phil has to say about it. Read Oprah's website and see what Oprah has to say about it. Go to all of our friends and see what they have to say about it. Find maybe a trusted person or two in the church and ask them what they think about it. Then we go to the pastor and see what he thinks about it. Then we decide, maybe I should pray about it. You know what? We should pray first. In fact, what does man have? Remember, man fails. We have a narrow perspective. We have a limited viewpoint of things. Let me ask you a question. Do you not have a God that can see everything? Can he see the end from the beginning? He knows what next year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. He knows what's in the heart of every person that you're coming in contact with. That every mountain you're scaling, that every difficulty you're facing, he knows the ins and outs to it. Why not ask him? That's where prayer and fasting comes. You say, man, I don't have that kind of faith. Yeah, you do. If you got mustard seed faith, that's all you need. You don't have to have this, you know, this tremendously large, huge, looming faith that seems so out of touch for you. No, just mustard seed faith. Just a little. Just believe. And then depend on God. God says we secure our faith because the source of our faith is wrapped up in God. Man, to know that if I could be connected to God, that would make all the difference in the world. I remember when I was a little boy growing up in West Virginia, we had mountains. And I was always privileged to cut the grass in my backyard. Now, my dad taught me how to cut the grass. When you cut grass on hills like that, you have to cut the grass on hills sideways. You don't go up and down because you can cut your foot off doing that. If you slip or something, go right underneath the mower. Back in those days, mowers didn't have the release and shut off the motor. You just cut the grass. Whatever it got a hold of, it just chomped it right up. But I remember my dad, he told me, he says, now here's how we do it. We cut the grass to go back and forth, back and forth. And then my dad said, but one thing, a grass is never finished unless you trim. Unless you trim. And I thought, okay. So here's what my dad said. Let me show you how you trim. So he gave me these things that looked like big scissors. And you go around the house and you trim with the big scissors. Now, they were the kind you squeeze like this and it went like that. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? That was high tech in those days. I thought it was really cool when my dad went to a flea market and bought the kind that you could push like this and hold it up instead of having to get down on your back and do it, you know, bend over and do it. That's high tech. But then when they come out with weed eaters, oh, yes. So much better. Because what you could do is you just started it up, man, you could just cut everything real quick. Love that. You know what God says? Many times you're trying to struggle doing it with your own selves. But if you just connect to the power of God, God will show you what he can really do. Just a little seed of faith. Doesn't take much. You know how much faith it takes for God to do something in your life? Just about as much as you had when you first trusted Christ as Savior. Just about that much. Because honestly, when I got saved, I didn't know anything about church or Bible or Jesus or anything. I just know the Bible says that if I call on the Lord, he'll save me. He'll give me a home in heaven. If I'm willing to call on him and trust him, he's willing to forgive me. He will accept me just as I am. And that's all the kind of faith you have to have. Maybe some of you here today, because you've never done that, you just think, man, I'm just too big of a sinner that God won't forgive me. God will take you just where you are. And as we go to him and we depend on him, in fact, he's the only way that we can be saved. That's the only power that we can have that will overcome sin in our life. And that's through what he has done for us. I love what David said in Psalm 91. Here's what he said. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust? When I think I can't go on anymore, when I think I'm not able to make it anymore, and there have been days when I felt that way, I didn't even know. Every day seemed like months for me. I've been through those days like many of you have, and I think I can't go on anymore. I'm reminded of what Isaiah 40 verse 31 says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I thought about that today. And I said, Lord, there are times when I just feel like that I'm going to faint. And God says, oh no, you trust me, I'm going to take you through those days of fainting. What's your mountain today? What is it? Family? Friends? Job? Health? Children? What's your mountain today? Maybe you'd rather not say, and I understand that. Maybe it's your salvation. That's your mountain. We all have it. For some, it may seem like it's really large. And for others, it may seem like that's really small. But I want to tell you something. Every mountain that you face in your life is big to you. But just mustard seed faith. It's all you need. If you connect it to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll help you to scale the mountain. You get over on the other side, you say, Lord, thank you. Now, Lord, you got me through that, Lord, and I know I'm going to have another mountain, but Lord, just in my journey of life, I just thank you for the mountains you've got me through. Can I be honest with you? I've been through a lot of mountains. A lot of mountains. You can't be saved for nearly 40 years now and not have been facing some mountains in your life and being in the ministry nearly 30 years. I've seen God do some amazing, amazing things. And I'm going to tell you something. The same God that did it for me did it, can do it for you too. Whatever you're facing in your life, believe, the Bible says. Believe and God will take you through it. You have to believe with that mustard seed faith that He will take you through no matter what it is you're facing in life. Depend on Him. Work the faith that you have so that God can show you how powerful He really is. Let's pray.